The title of the sermon this morning is Steadfast and Flexible. And I had an image in mind to help communicate some of what I'll be talking about this morning, and we'll see in the scripture this morning, and that is an oak tree. So I don't know if during the hurricane you went outside at all or looked out the window and maybe saw an oak tree or some other tree like an oak, you know, with a solid trunk that's rooted in the ground, that's steadfast, and the winds were coming and you looked up and you saw the leaves blowing and shaking back and forth, but the trunk stayed solid, stayed steadfast, even though there was flex in the branches. And keep that in mind as an image of what we're going to talk about this morning, because we see in Paul's ministry and his teaching that he is steadfast on the gospel. He's steadfast on the word. He's steadfast on obedience to the Lord and the Lord's words and commands and teachings. But we also see in his life, along with that, a flexibility on matters indifferent in order to relate, to reach people for Christ. And so we read in the 1 Corinthians chapter 9 passage about how Paul talks about, I've become all things to all people that I might win some. And there he's talking about this flexibility on matters indifferent. And even while he is under the law of Christ, even while he is firm and true and steadfast and inflexible on the gospel. And so Paul's life and ministry was like this oak tree, firm and rooted in the gospel and yet willing to bend in the branches, matters indifferent, to flex, to reach people with the gospel. So in that we see both a gospel mind with Paul and a gospel heart. He understands what the gospel is, so he understands what it is and what it isn't, what would be compromised, what is not compromised, but is a matter of indifference. And so he has a mind that understands the gospel, and he has a heart that wants to take the gospel to others, for others to hear the gospel, to be reached. And so his heart reaches out toward others with the gospel, and there is flexing that he is willing to do so long as the gospel and the word of God are not compromised in order to reach people with the gospel. So he's like this oak tree. And I ask you if you have a Bible, or you can grab one in front of you in the pew, grab one and turn with me to Acts chapter 16. I'm going to look at Acts chapter 16 verses 1 through 5 this morning. Acts 16, 1 through 5, and I invite you, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's Word here in Acts 16, verses 1 through 5. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And they went on their way through the cities. They delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Amen. You may be seated. So keep that in mind. I want to flip over to Galatians 2. Galatians 2, and you may have had this in mind as we were reading along. Galatians chapter 2 and verses 3 to 5, and compare it to what we just read with Paul circumcising Timothy. So Galatians 2, verses 3 to 5. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. So there in Galatians, Paul steadfastly says, no, I will not circumcise Titus. Titus, who was a full Greek, he was a full Gentile. In Acts 16, we just read about how Paul circumcised Timothy, whose mother was Jewish and she was a believer, and yet she was married to a Greek. In fact, it may be the case, probably is, that Timothy's dad was dead by this point, because when in verse 3, we read that he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. That word for all knew is a pluperfect. You could also translate it for they all had known that his father was a Greek. And so some commentators think that perhaps Timothy's father was dead at this point. We hear about his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, and the positive influence they played in Timothy's life. But Timothy was a Jewish on his mother's side and Greek on his father's side, and he hadn't been circumcised. And the Jews that Paul's speaking about here knew that. They knew his father was a Greek, knew that he hadn't been circumcised, and yet he was, because of his mother, Jewish enough for them to consider that he was Jewish. So they thought that he would need to be circumcised for at least social reasons. That's how Paul, I think this is how you see the difference in Paul's response. He's willing to circumcise Timothy because the gospel's not at stake. Another way we know that is because right after we read in verse 3 that he circumcised Timothy for the sensibilities of the Jews in order to reach them, that Timothy wouldn't be excluded automatically from reaching them with the gospel in this missionary work, Paul lets Timothy get circumcised because he's Jewish on his mother's side. And it's not about salvation. It's not about the gospel. It's a matter of meeting certain sensibilities in this culture in order to be listened to and accepted by them as missionaries, rather than just sort of turned away from the get-go. And so the reason in context as well why I think this is what's going on is because in verse 4 we read that immediately after verse 3 where Timothy is circumcised, verse 4 it says, as they went on their way throughout the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. Well, as we've already seen in our work through Acts, those decisions included that circumcision was not required of Gentiles, that circumcision was not necessary for salvation, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so if it becomes a point of contention or confusion on the part of people that circumcision is necessary for salvation, Paul says, don't do it. It's not necessary. We're not going to send that signal. In fact, that would subvert the free grace that we have in the gospel through faith alone in Christ alone. And so he refuses to circumcise Titus, who's a Gentile, refuses to give in and circumcise Titus. So he says in Galatians that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. So Paul's like an oak at the core there. He's steadfast on the gospel. He won't move. He won't budge because the gospel's at stake. People are thinking that there's something additional to add to what Christ has done for salvation. And Paul says, no, absolutely no. But then, in case of Timothy, when the gospel isn't at stake, that's not what's going on in the thinking of the circumcision here. But it's a matter of meeting certain cultural manners or sensibilities, matters of indifference. Then he says, okay, go ahead and Timothy will circumcise you so that the doorway into these people's lives will be open. There won't be a wall and a barrier up there. So long as we're not confusing this with the gospel, but as mere sensibilities so that we might reach people, well, on these things will become all things to all people. And so Timothy circumcised so that the door of ministry is open to him among the Jews that they're going to be ministering to. So I think that's how you understand that Paul is not in contradiction or conflict. You know, somebody might have read those two passages without, you know, exploring more of what's going on in the context and details, and might think, oh, Paul's being inconsistent. Here he gets upset with Peter when Peter's compromising the gospel and refusing to eat with Gentiles in Antioch on the one hand, and then he's over here circumcising Timothy. Is Paul being inconsistent? He's not circumcising Titus. No, that's not what's going on. Paul's being consistent, consistently steadfast on the gospel, but in matters of indifference, he's willing to flex. And so we see that here in Timothy and how Paul responds to Timothy's circumcision. And so we see here the steadfastness on the gospel. There's two points. We don't have notes here, note sheet, but there's two points that I want to look at. One is the steadfastness on the gospel. Look at that a little bit. And then the other part is the flexibility on matters indifferent to reach people for Christ. So those are the two areas that we're going to hone in on a little this morning. And for the steadfastness on the gospel, one thing that's important then, obviously, is that you have to know what the gospel is. What is a matter of of gospel truth, and what is a matter of the word that Calvin uses for it, indifference, adiaphora. From the Greek adiaphora, Calvin pulls it over when he describes in the Institutes about Christian freedom. These matters of indifference, that it's not a matter of being disobedient or not to flex in these matters of regarding somebody's sensibilities or cultural manners, so long as they're not impinging on the word, the commands of God, the teachings of the gospel and scripture. So you have to know. You have to know it to know the difference. Paul certainly did. That's why he can do two things with Titus and Timothy. With Timothy, have him circumcised. With Titus, refuse to have him circumcised. So Paul knew, so that he would not compromise the gospel, he would not compromise obedience to the word of God, and he knew the difference. So it's important to know the difference. I remember somebody who, I don't know inside his head to know exactly how he thought about these things, but he was very strongly against drums and coming to church without a suit and a tie on. Now, it's fine to wear a suit and a tie to church. I'm not saying that. I've worn suit and ties. But he made it this sort of this line of superiority, and he would walk out during the sets when drums would be played because he thought that they were demonic. Well, so this is a place where it's important to know, you know, clothing like suit and ties or not, it's a matter of indifference. Playing drums or not, a matter of indifference. But if you get those wrong, then you can slide over into this legalistic mindset. So it's really important to actually know the gospel, actually know the word of God, and that means that you have to study it. It doesn't come to you by putting it under your pillow and sleeping on it. You have to read it and read it in context. So you have to study the word to know what it means to stand firm and where there's a flex. You know, and another reason why it's important to know it is because there's all sorts of winds or cultural pressures out there that are going to be beating against you, you know, you as an oak tree. And you have to know which ones are okay to flex with and which ones are not. You know, peer pressure is a cultural peer pressure is a very strong force. Sometimes it's for good. For example, it can make you not want to smoke when you see some of the smoking things and what they do to your lungs and this sort of thing. But also peer pressure can be bad. I remember thinking back, you know, I actually find enjoyment in looking back at some of old photos of myself and Katie's parents or people who are a little older than I am and some of the styles. And you think now, you know, from this perspective, what were they thinking? You know, what kind of peer pressure were they under to wear that or that hairstyle? So, you know, peer pressure can be bad. You know, think of the man bun. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a hairstyle. I don't see anybody wearing one here, so I think I'm safe. A man bun where sort of men grow their hair out long and wrap it up in a bun and tie it up. And I saw this video once, and I would not go this far in a prank. By the way, let me say that as a disclaimer here. But somebody went around with a pair of scissors and snuck up by people wearing man buns and snipped them off and ran off with them. I mean, this is real, you know what I mean? It's not like pretend. I wouldn't go that far. But peer pressure can be bad. You know, what makes somebody want to wear a man bun? It's not something that I don't think anybody on their own would just kind of wake up and think, like, that's a great idea. There's a certain amount of peer pressure that, and then there's some distance you can have. Like I say, looking back on styles now, I look back on some of my haircuts and I think, you know, what was I doing? But so it can be bad, but it can actually be really bad and really damaging as well. You know, cultural messages or pressures that would say things like there's many ways to God for those who are simply sincere. Now we know from Scripture that's a lie, but there's a pressure on that, or pressures, and you don't have to look far. And some of the pressures look different in different ages and stages in human history. But things like the sort of cultural wind that would blow and say, like, there's many okay ways to define marriage. But we know from Scripture how marriage is defined between a man and a woman. And so knowing, you have to know Scripture. And so when these winds come blowing on you, you know when they're good ones or when they're, you know, sort of silly bad ones, like maybe a style, or when they're really actually bad and harmful, and where to not bend but to stay firm on the Word of God. So you actually have to know Scripture. You have to know what it teaches. You have to know this so that you can be discerning. And so that you can have convictions that are rooted in the Word of God, which is unshakable, so that you're not like the foam that's tossed on waves. You know, I was out at the beach recently and saw these, you know, big waves come in, and one wave will come in and then another one, and there's this foam, the flotsam and jetsam, that sort of just rides on the, and it'll go just with the wave. It's not anchored deep, and then if a wave comes this way, it goes that way, and it goes this way, it goes that way, and some people's convictions, so-called, are like this. With it, certain cultural moments will flow one way because it's easier, and then flow the other way. We need to not be like that, but to stay rooted in the Word of God, to have the trunk, the steadfastness in the gospel and the Word of God, where we don't compromise, so that we're like a house built on a rock that withstands, not built on sand. So we're like the tree that Psalm 1 talks about, planted by streams of water, rooted in the Word of God. And so Paul knew this. We see that in how he refuses to let Titus be circumcised, and how he goes on in this verse 4 in chapter 16 and spreads the what the council had said, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and circumcision is not necessary. And so he was firm on that. And then point 2, we see that we need to be flexible on matters of indifference in order to reach people for Christ. And this may be very difficult too, by the way. It wasn't easy for Titus or Timothy to be circumcised. Painful. He obviously hadn't been circumcised up to that point, really didn't have an interest in it, until he wanted to go with Paul on a missionary journey, and it was going to unlock doors of ministry for him. So he went ahead and went through this painful thing in order to be serviceable in this way. And so Timothy sacrificed. He underwent pain in order to flex, in order to reach people for Christ. Timothy also had a gospel heart, a willingness to do a difficult thing that was not a compromise at all of the Word of God, but was a sacrifice in love for others and to reach them. And so we need to know how to bend but not break. How to bend but not break, you know. Use that terminology sometimes of football, like defenses that bend don't break. You know, they won't give up the point, but they might let a pass go by as part of their plan. You hear that terminology there. But the bend not break, like the oak tree, where we're firmly rooted in principles and teachings and truth of God's word that doesn't change, uncompromising, steadfast. But then on matters of indifference, willing to flex out of love, even when it costs us to do so, because we care that the gospel spread, we care that people hear it. So we need to know, you know, when to stand firm, when we're willing to flex. As an example, after we got married, I was willing to flex on letting Katie pre-program, radio stations in the car that I mainly use. But it came a point where the fuzzy steering wheel cover was no longer okay. That went out. I came to a place of, I'm not going to break on that anymore. But as a silly, we need to know. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, and he was somebody who wore he adopted Chinese dress, and he learned the language. And it's very hard to learn a foreign language, and he wore a dress that he wasn't used to. He even grew his hair out into a long, which was a style in that day, with a long pony or braid down the back. And many people in his day, other missionaries from the United Kingdom, looked at him, and if they didn't think he was compromising, they thought it was ridiculous. But Hudson Taylor had an insight into this flexibility on this point, that a dress, as a matter of indifference, it did actually have the effect of opening doors of relationships with people in China, that before there was this wall up. And so he understood this flexibility, that in a matter of indifference like this, even though it might not be the most comfortable thing for me to wear that I'm used to, I'll go ahead and do this, and it ended up seeing fruit in his ministry, because he was willing to flex on this point of indifference. So knowing the difference between when to bend and when not to, And being willing to flex on those points where it's a matter of indifference in order to close the gap to reach others. Again, this gospel heart. And so Paul said, you know, to the Jew I become as a Jew. To those under the law I become like under the law. Though I'm not under the law, I'm under the law of Christ. But he was willing to meet them on a ground of sensibility and custom where he wasn't compromising the gospel. And so things like how would that play out some in our lives? It may be a matter of dress, you know, in some cases, or custom. You know, I know certain cultures, certain expressions that you might say, or how close you talk to one another. I mean, these are some things I've heard that in some cultures, like the personal space bubble is like 6 inches, in others it's like a foot and a half. That can even vary, I've noticed, on person to person. But, you know, observing some of those things that are just sort of, you know, I think kind of minor things, but they may be things that open up doors, you know, being willing to flex in these kinds of areas to meet people. It may be, as I say, cost some sacrifice, some difficulty. How are we going to build bridges or cross bridges of these sort of sensibilities, these kind of indifferent matters with people, but that really do maybe keep us away from people? It may be maybe you golf and you like golf, maybe you don't, but you know some people who do that you want to get to know so that you can share the gospel with them. So to the golfers, I become like a golfer. I personally don't like golf very much because I'm not that good at it. I think I would like it if I was good. I like putt-putt, sort of. But some people here I know love golf. And so it might not be much of a sacrifice for you, but others it might be. You might pick up you might join a club. You say, well, I don't know very many people that I can engage with Christ. Well, have you thought about in some of your time joining a club? You know, a club that would be that you could be a godly witness. Maybe you don't like bridge, or I don't know what sort of card game or something that you might play charades. I don't know what there's. I know there's a lot of clubs that you could maybe you want to be join, like play tennis or a pickleball club or an outdoor thing. So you know, there's many activities that you can do. And do in good conscience, and you might not enjoy it that much, but you intentionally do it so that you can get to know people. That is a kind of a sacrifice because it takes time, it takes intentionality. So to the bowler, maybe you become a bowler, you take up bowling, or to the neighbor, you become a neighbor. You know, the uncomfortableness of engaging in a conversation or initiating a relationship with a neighbor. This kind of thing where there's a flex, you're flexing because it's maybe out of your comfort zone. It's maybe something that you're not all that comfortable with. I remember as a youth pastor, there's things I did as a youth pastor that I would never have done except that I was a youth pastor and wanted to build bridges and connect with youth. So in a sense, to the youth, I became a youth. I mean, things like we would do this game called blatting. I had to ask my former boss what the name was because I couldn't remember. So I texted him this week. And basically, like I say, I would not do this now unless there was youth to reach doing it. But you would go and put a pie, you know, one of those sort of like cherry or apple pies on the ground in the road, and you'd have spotters that would watch for cars, and then the cars would drive by, and when they would smash the pie into the ground, whoever was the one who was it would have to have their hands behind their back and go out and eat up as much of the pie as they could without using their hands before the spotters told them to get off the road or the driveway, you know. And later I thought about what roadkill those same tires had gone. But I mean, it's things like that. You becoming a youth to reach the youth, things that you might not otherwise normally do, but in order to reach people for Christ because you have a heart that you want them to hear, you bridge a gap by doing something that's maybe difficult or even sacrificial. Maybe it's a matter of, you know, getting together with somebody to the vegetarians. I became a vegetarian. You really like meat, but you go and you have dinner with this couple that's a vegetarian. All they eat is vegetables, and you don't complain about it. You go and you might not. I had a friend who hated vegetables. He thought his only vegetable that he liked was potato French fries. And we had a debate about whether that counted. So for him, like he hated taking to try to get I guess vitamin B or whatever it is. He bought spinach and he would just as fast as he could shove it in his mouth and chew it and take water and swallow it. just to get some nutrition. So for him, it would be a greater sacrifice. Or maybe somebody who is into baseball or some hobby or sport that you know about that you can connect with them. You might not be a big baseball fan, but maybe somebody at work's really interested in that, and that's a bridge of connection you can have to them. So you're intentionally willing to build relationships and even flex, even places that are uncomfortable in these matters of indifference. It may be going to a different location even. With Paul, not only did he went to different cities he'd never been. Talk about uncomfortable. Here in Lystra and Derbe, he went back where he'd been before, but he had gone out of his way at cost to himself, and we know how much he was opposed and even beaten. He went to places at great cost to himself, to locations, to the Iconians. I became an Iconian in the sense that I went there, to those in the next cubicle down the way. I became as one of the next cubicle down the way. I mean, you can fill in the gaps, but filling in, but going places, doing things that are not compromising the gospel, but for the sake of bridging the gaps with people that you might be able to have a relationship with them in which you share the gospel. So we see this in Paul, the flex of the leaves on the oak tree. He's willing to bend on these indifferent matters because he has a gospel heart, because he wants people to hear the gospel. So he said there in 1 Corinthians 9, that I might win some, that there might be some who come to faith in Christ. And now, no, he's not saying to the murderers, I became a murderer. So again, this is a matter of staying fast on the Word of God. He's not talking about sinning here. We avoid sin. But on matters indifferent, being willing to have the flexibility, even if it's uncomfortable, that we might reach people who we otherwise would not have a relationship with if we stay in just what's comfortable to us. So being willing to flex in those ways while being steadfast, like the oak tree. And to think of it this way too, that Christ came down to reach us, and he was steadfast. In fact, he was absolutely steadfast, never sinning, ever. And he came down, he humbled himself by coming into a world in rebellion against him in the incarnation. The Son of God came and became a man while remaining God, lived among us, lived under the law, so that Paul said that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And so we've got the Spirit in us, we who are in Christ, and we can apply this way of steadfast and yet flexible in matters of indifference, and look to Christ as so much more coming in the incarnation, and then without compromising, without breaking, perfectly steadfast in his life, he flexed in meeting with sinners, ministering to us. He flexed in the incarnation, and that he humbled himself, and even to the point of death. Even death on the cross, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, that there was a flexibility that Jesus did at the point of much greater sacrifice than Timothy being circumcised or anything that you and I might do to reach our neighbors. Christ came to die in our place, to bear our sins. That's as far as he flexed, even unto death, while remaining steadfast, so that he might be, and in fact is, our Savior. So that through faith in him, and because of what he has done, through faith in him, we then are free to be steadfast and to be flexible for the sake of the gospel. And so looking to Christ, who was steadfast and flexed for us, even to the point of dying in our place for our sins and rising from the dead, that we can be those in our lives that for the sake of reaching others for the gospel, with the gospel, are firm on what the gospel is, steadfast on the Word of God, and flexible in matters of indifference, that we might reach others that they might hear. We see this in Paul, in how he circumcised Timothy, refused to circumcise Titus, and we see it in bold, perfect, in our Savior, and his incarnation, his humbling himself even to the point of death, while living the perfect life that we fail to live, and then giving his life on the cross for those of us who were enemies of His, and yet He died for us to make us His friends. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its truth. That what a privilege. We pray for Your strength to be steadfast on it forever and always, that we would not give an inch on the truth of Your Word, and that we would be willing with a heart for the gospel and reaching the lost to flex on in areas that are even uncomfortable to us, but are matters of indifference, so that we might reach those who otherwise would be not wanting to hear us, not wanting to relate to us. I pray for each of us that You would give us opportunities that in our own hearts and minds that we would think of, where are those areas that maybe because of my comfort I'm not going there? It's not a matter of compromise. It's a matter of I'm content not to go there because of comfort. But that those areas where we wouldn't be compromising, but that we would be flexing for the sake, in matters of indifference, for the sake of the gospel. Open each of our minds to those areas, that we would discern and know what they are in our lives, that we would think about that, and pray that You would give us an increased heart for the gospel, that we might want to reach others with the gospel, even though it might cost us. And thank You for the freedom and salvation through faith in Christ that we have. And I pray for anybody here that doesn't know that freedom, that friendship with God forever, that hope, that salvation that Christ came and won for us, that they would turn to Him, embrace Him, and so become like an oak rooted and firm and free, and then willing to flex in those matters of indifference to reach their friends and neighbors who are far from Christ. And we ask it in His name. Amen.